children beside me. And if you're wondering how he divides his time, just let me say I never stand in line. He loves me like I was his only child. Never felt such love before. I could never ask for more. He loves me like I was his only child. God really loves me. Yes, he really loves me. He loves me like I was his only child. He never favors me above the rest. But then all my father's children feel that way. He loves me like I was his only child. Never felt such love before. I could never ask for more. He loves me like I was his only child. God really loves me. Yes, he really loves me. He loves me like I was his only child. God really loves me. Yes, he really loves me. He loves me like I was his only child.
Well, good evening. It's good to see you all this evening, and glad to be back here at the great Faith Baptist Church. And there's only one Faith Baptist Church that's greater in my mind, and that's the Faith Baptist Church that I'm a member of in Michigan. And if it wasn't greater, then I'd be here. But it's good to be with you all. I want to thank you all for your faithful support for these last 6 months or so. And I believe I can still say I'm one of your newest missionaries that you support, and I'm proud to be a part of your missionary program, and thankful for your giving to missions, not only to help our family, but dozens of others around the world as we endeavor to fulfill the Great Commission in our corner of the mission field. And it is a privilege to be with you all tonight, and I'm looking forward to what God has in store. This is not planned, but we just dropped in. I decided about 4 o'clock this afternoon that we were going to come over here. We're staying over at Dwight and with Brother Woodward, and it was just kind of a spur of the moment thing. I was like, Brother Pete, let's go over to Bourbonnais and go to Faith. And he's like, all right, wherever you go, I'm going. So we're here, and I guess God had a reason for that, and God knew what I didn't know, that your pastor wasn't feeling real well and could use a well-deserved rest. And so I'm going to try my best to be a blessing to you tonight, and I hope that I can be, and I want to thank you for your prayers. And it's good to know, see a church that's praying for your missionaries. It's good to see a church that is using those missionary letters that we send, and not just pinning them up on the board and forgetting about us and whatever, but it's good to see that they're being read and prayed over, and that means a lot to me as a missionary to come in and see that happening. And sometimes I've been in some of my own supporting churches, and I look on the wall and they'll have a mission display, and the last prayer letter that they have up from me is like a year and a half old. And I'm thinking, what are they doing with the last 16 prayer letters I've sent them? You know, how are they knowing? And, you know, and so I'm glad to see a church that stays on top of that, and it does my heart good to know that you all are aware of what's going on with your missionaries and praying for them. And not just saying, we'll be praying for you, brother, but you're actually doing it. That's a good thing. And so thank you so much for that. And I hope I can be a blessing to you. We're going to be in 1 Chronicles 28 this evening. 1 Chronicles chapter 28. And I promised the preacher I wouldn't keep you longer than he normally does. on Wednesday nights. He said he tries to get everybody out by 8:15, and so I'm going to do my best to keep that promise this evening, preacher. And if I go too long, just grab me by the tie and pull me off the platform. And, you know, my wife would say that's okay for you to do. And she says I need to be kicked around a little bit and whatever else, taught a lesson. But I just hope that I can be a blessing to you with the time we have this evening. And young people, how many young people do we have in here? Let's say 20 years and under. Would you raise your hand for me? Look at the good group of young people tonight. That's wonderful to see. And church, I hope you took the time to look around and see that. Because that's the future. That's the future. And that's what I want to preach on tonight, is preparing the next generation to serve God. Preparing the next generation to serve God. Let's read together 1 Chronicles chapter 28, beginning in verse number 1. It says, "And David assembled all the princes of Israel and the princes of the tribes and the captains of the companies that ministered to the king by courses, and captains over the thousands and captains over the hundreds, and the stewards over all the substance of the possession of the king and of his sons, with the officers and with the mighty men and with all the valiant men unto Jerusalem. And David said, and David the king stood up upon his feet and said, 'Hear me, my brethren and my people. As for me, I had in mine heart to build an house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and for the footstool of our God, and had made ready for the building. But God said unto me, Thou shalt not build an house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war, and hast shed blood. Howbeit, the Lord God of Israel chose me before all the house of my father to be king over Israel forever, for he hath chosen Judah to be the ruler. And of the house of Judah, the house of my father, among all the sons of my father, he liked me to make me king over Israel. And of all my sons, for the Lord hath given me many sons, he hath chosen Solomon my son to sit upon the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. And he said unto me, Solomon thy son, he shall build my house and my courts. For I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever, if he be constant to do my commandments and my judgments as at this day. Now therefore, in the sight of all Israel, and the congregation of the Lord, and in the audience of our God, keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord your God, that ye may possess this good land and leave it for an inheritance for your children after you forever. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee, but if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build an house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it.' Then David gave to Solomon, his son, the pattern for the porch, and of the houses thereof, and of the treasuries thereof, and of the upper chambers thereof, and of the inner parlors thereof, and of the place of the mercy seat, and the pattern of all that he had by the Spirit, and the courts of the house of the Lord, and of all the chambers round about, and of the treasuries of the house of God, and of the treasuries of the dedicated things. Also for the courses of the priests and the Levites, and for the work of the service of the house of the Lord, and for all the vessels which were in the Lord's house, or which were in the house of the Lord." And we'll stop there for the sake of time this evening. He goes on and gives the exact measurements of how much he gave in gold and silver and things of that nature, and what purpose it was for. But here in this passage, we see David getting ready to hand over the throne to his son. And as I was reading this passage, the thought came to my mind about preparing the next generation to serve God. And I want to show you some things that the Lord showed me here in this passage, and I hope it'll be a help to you tonight. But let's go before the Lord in prayer as we get into the message. Our Father in heaven, I pray that you'd just bless this service tonight, Lord. It's been good for me already to be in the house of the Lord. You've encouraged my heart, Lord, through the singing and, Lord, through even through the prayer time and just hearing the testimonies of the other missionaries, Lord, and just the things that have taken place have already been a blessing to me. And, Lord, I pray that You continue to work, not just in the hearts of the people, but in this preacher as well. And, Father, I pray that You just fill me this evening with Your Holy Spirit. Lord, I know that I don't have anything in and of myself to give these people tonight that will be of any value. But, Lord, I need Your help tonight. I need Your touch. I need Your wisdom and anointing from on high to guide me, Lord, as I preach this message. And I pray that, Lord, as Your Word goes forth, that it would prosper in the thing whereunto You send it. Lord, that it would accomplish that which You please. And, Lord, that not one man, woman, boy, or girl that's here tonight would in any way grieve, resist, or quench the moving of Your Spirit in their life tonight. Lord, if there's sin that's present, I pray that You convict us of that. If You want to challenge us and encourage us to do more for You, I pray that You'd help us not to resist that. Lord, if maybe You're calling somebody into the ministry out of this great church, Lord, I pray that whoever that may be, dear God, that You'd help them to just surrender to Your will for their life this evening. And Lord, I pray that You'd just work as only You can. Lord, we thank You for the testimony of the man that was saved today and others that have been saved through this ministry recently. And Lord, I pray tonight, if there's anyone in this service who doesn't know You as their personal Savior, that today would be their day of salvation. Work in their heart especially, I pray, and stir the hearts of Your saints to continue to go on and serve You and to prepare that next generation to follow in Your service. And we'll give You the glory for what You do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Here in 1 Chronicles 28, David calls together the who's who of Israel. He calls the captains over the armies and all the soldiers, all the mighty men, all the priests, and he gathers all these people together to just challenge them and to basically let them know that, hey, it's almost time for Solomon to become king, and he's going to be taking over the throne very soon, and he's setting some things in order. And he's made some preparations in order for Solomon to be able to follow in and fulfill the dream that he had to accomplish for the Lord. And as I see that, I'm challenged by that as a father, as a preacher, as a Christian, with the responsibility that I have, not just to do what God's called me to do personally, but to challenge and to encourage and to prepare the next generation of servants for God. We all have that responsibility, and I believe that my greatest responsibility in ministry is not to the inmate, but it's to my wife and my four kids at home. I believe that's my greatest responsibility as a father. That comes before anything and everything else, is to teach and to train my children to serve God, to prepare them for whatever God has for them. That doesn't necessarily mean that my boys will both grow up to be preachers. I'd love it if God called them in the ministry. But however they serve God, whatever they do, I want it to be done for God. My daughter wants to be a nurse and get into nursing and do things like that. And if that's what God wants her to do, I want her to do it for Him and for His honor and glory. I want to teach them and train them to do whatever they do to the glory of God, as Scriptures command us to. Whatever we do, we're to do it all to the glory of God. And we have that responsibility as a church. There's a lot of churches today that I'm afraid are failing in preparing that next generation. They are. The children, I've been in churches where it at least appears. It at least appears that the children are a nuisance in the church, not a blessing to the church. And I know kids can be kids. Kids mess up stuff. My mom told me, you know, I was talking to her the other day about, you know, Isaac messed this up and Isaac did that, our 4-year-old, you know, and he's like a little tornado, man. He just tears everything up. And she said, I told you a long time ago, as long as you have kids, you can't have anything nice. You know, and that's true. And sometimes kids can be a burden, but I get that, but they are the future. And we can't let the little nicks in the walls and this and that get us so frustrated that we give up on them and just don't work with them to teach them and train them to do what God wants them to do. We've got a burden to prepare them. We've got a job to prepare them to serve God. And if we're going to prepare them to serve God, they need to see our vision. They need to see our vision. They need to see our heart. And what they need to see in us, a desire to serve God. You can't expect your kids to grow up and serve the Lord if they don't see in you a desire to serve the Lord. They need to see it in your life, mom and dad, that it's a priority to you. And I know this is the Wednesday night crowd, and obviously it is a priority to you. You're here. And when a lot of folks that are here on Sunday mornings or even Sunday nights aren't here, and this is the cream of the crop, no doubt, of the church members at Faith Baptist Church, but they need to see it in us, that serving God and being where God wants us to be, that's number one. That's a priority. They need to see our vision and our burden. David said in verse number 2, before all the people, he said, I had in mine heart to build an house of rest for the ark of the covenant of God, for God's footstool. He said, that's what I want to do. He said, I had a vision. Don't you think that David shared that vision with Solomon and his other sons many times? Don't you think that David sat down with his boys and said, listen, boys, let me just tell you what I want to do for God. Let me just tell you what my goal is to see accomplished for God. David had a vision and he let it be known. And if we're going to raise our children to serve God, they need to see that we've got a vision, a burden, a goal, something we want to accomplish for the Lord. They need to see that. See, children learn by our example. How are they ever going to learn to set goals for God if they don't see mom and dad setting goals? How are they ever going to learn to give to missions if they don't see mom and dad giving to missions? How are they ever going to learn to have a burden for the souls of their neighbors and their friends if they don't see mom and dad with a burden for the souls of their neighbors and for their friends and their family? If they don't see you praying for your loved ones and on your knees before God, how are they ever going to learn to pray? They need to see a vision. They need to see the burden. The burden must be shared. They must see that in our lives that God's will is more important to us than our own will. David said, this is what I wanted to do. This is what I had in my heart. But God said, no. God said, I've got something different for you. I've got a different path for you to go down. I've got a different plan to have this accomplished. And David, he wanted to do it so bad, but God said no. And so David had to surrender his will to God's will. David could have said, like Saul before him, well, I'm the king, I'm going to do it my way, and I know God said to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. He could have rebelled against God and said, well, I'm the king, I'm going to start building the temple anyway. But he surrendered his will to God's will. So, well, if that's not what God wants me to do, then that's okay. I'll tell you, I would not be standing here today. I would not be in prison ministry today if I got my way when it came to ministry. Oh, 12 or 13 years ago, I had in my heart to pastor a church. That's all I wanted to do. And I sent resumes out and candidated and all these things were going on. And door after door after door got slammed in our face. There's one church up in Lansing, Michigan, a little church just outside the city. And I'd preached there dozens of times and filling the pulpit when they were without a pastor. And they finally said, hey, we want you to candidate officially. And so I met with the pulpit committee and went through all the requirements that they had. And I mean, my wife and I were sure that this is where we were going to end up. And the deacons were sure that this is where we were going to end up, so much so that they were already taking us around looking at properties and houses and rentals, all this kind of stuff, trying to figure out where we were going to live and all this kind of stuff. And it was a Wednesday night. The following Sunday, was the official day we were going to candidate. They were going to vote and to take us as their pastor. And I was there on a Wednesday night just to preach for the prayer meeting. And I walked in the door and the head deacon said, Brother Brian, come here. We need to talk. And he pulled me into the office. And as soon as we got in the office, he started crying, weeping. He's like, Brother Brian, I don't know how to tell you this. He said, our church constitution says that we can't present you as a candidate unless we have 100% agreement from the pulpit committee that you're the guy. And just this morning, I got a phone call from one of the members of the pulpit committee that decided they didn't like your conservative stance on music. And they withdrew their recommendation. And so we can't present you as a candidate. And God slammed the door shut. And I'll be honest with you, I was brokenhearted. I thought for sure that's what I was going to be doing. I thought for sure that's where God wanted me. But what I realized is that's what I wanted. I had it in my heart, but God had something different in store. And it wasn't until just a couple weeks after that I finally got right with God and said, Lord, if that's not what you want me to do, if you don't want me to pastor a church, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? And that's when God began to direct and to guide in my life and bringing me to the Rock of Ages prison ministry. You see, I had in my heart to do one thing. My will was to be a pastor. But God's will for my life was completely different than what I wanted. And I had to get to a point of surrender where I said, God, Your will is more important than mine. You don't want me to pastor a church? That's fine. Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? If we're going to prepare the next generation to serve God, they've got to see our vision. They've got to know that we place God's will as a greater priority than our own. They've got to know that we believe God's promises. They've got to know that we're willing to trust God. David said, listen, I wanted to do this, but God said no. God said He was going to make Solomon my son king and that Solomon was going to build the temple in my stead. And I'm just going to believe that God's going to use him. God promised, this is what He told me, this is what He promised, and I just believe it. So rather than try and take things into my own hands, I'm just going to let God work. I wanted to be a part of it, but God said no. So instead of being jealous of my son or bitter that I didn't get to do what I wanted to do, I'm just going to trust that God's going to work in his life and use him to do his will. We got to prepare that generation. Don't you know that it's hard for a man to give up his vision? When a man has something in his heart and his eyes set on something that he wants to do, a goal that he wants to attain, and something intervenes and changes the course of his life, and that man has to let go of that dream, let go of that vision, let go of that desire. Don't you know that's hard for a man to do? It's hard for us to change and to let go of something that we longed for when God says you can't have it. But our children need to see in us, the next generation of youth need to see in us that, you know what, I had a dream, but God had something different in store for me, and I'm okay with that. And I'm okay with that. It doesn't bother me that I don't pastor. I had two churches in the last year call me and said, would you come candidate to be our pastor? And I told them, I don't even have to pray about it. I'm exactly where God wants me to be. 13 years ago, I would have said, I don't even have to pray about it. I'll be there. But I know I'm where God... And what I'm saying is, when we place God's will ahead of our own and we surrender to His will, we'll find out that God had something even better in store than what we had in plan. See, we got to place God's will ahead of our own. We got to trust His promises. We got to share our burden. And then not only do you see that vision and be see the burden and all that, we need to challenge them. Not just lead by example. And by the way, that's the most important way to lead. You know, your kids don't care what you say. They get more out of what you do than what you say. And so you can talk the talk all you want, but if you're not living it, if they're not seeing it in you, then they're going to take what you do as a greater importance than what you say. So you got to live it. You got to let your children need to see your vision, your burden. But then we also need to be challenging them. Challenge the young people. Challenge the youth of this church to serve God. I'm glad to see the young people getting up and singing. I know you got your big convention next week and the young people be getting involved in a lot of different areas and doing a lot of different things. And that's tremendous, but we need to challenge them to do something for God. Step out of your comfort zone. You never know what you're going to be good at until you try. You know, I remind me of that widow. You remember that widow that had that one little pot of oil? And the prophet came and said, just fill the pots. Just keep, you know, gather all the pots and then take what you have and just start pouring it into. Yeah, she didn't know what she had until she started pouring it out. She didn't know how much she had until she started pouring it. Hey, you may not realize, young people or adults, there might be a man or a woman in here that God's been dealing with your heart about teaching a Sunday school class or running a bus route or doing something for God, and you're saying, man, I can't do that. That's not me. You don't know that it's not you. You don't know that you don't have the ability until you start pouring it out. You won't know exactly how much God can do with you. Say, I'll never do anything great for God. Well, you don't know until you start pouring yourself out. Just pour it out. And let God work. You might try it and find out, you know what, this isn't really for me. But you might try it and find out that you love it and that God's given you a gift and a talent in that area. And you might be the best bus captain or Sunday school teacher or children's church worker or servant in whatever area that this church has ever seen. But you don't know until you pour yourself out. We need to challenge our young people to serve God. David challenged Solomon in verse number 9. He says, and thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father. He challenged him to know God. To know God. Personally. Young people, when was the last time that you had your own personal devotion? Not with mom and dad, but you yourself got your Bible and said, I'm going to read a little bit of my Bible today and I want to get to know God. When was the last time you had your own private prayer time and communed with God, young person? You say, but Brother Brian, I'm only 6 years old. That doesn't matter. Get to know God. Get to know God. I'm just a teenager, Brother Brian. Doesn't matter. Get to know God. David challenged Solomon to know the God of his father, not just to know Him, but to serve Him with a perfect heart and a willing mind. Serve Him. Don't just know Him. Serve Him. Do something for Him. Get busy working for God somehow, some way, big or small. Just do something. Serve Him with a perfect heart. For the right motive. Don't serve Him so that Pastor Angel comes up to you and pats you on the shoulder and says, boy, son, you're doing a great job. Don't serve Him so that somebody gets up and says your name publicly and says what a wonderful servant. Hey, serve God with a perfect heart. Serve Him because you love Him. And for no other reason. Not because you want men's praise or you want to be seen of men, but just serve God because you love Him with a perfect heart. Serve God with a willing mind. One of the greatest things you can do as a young person or an adult in the area of your service, say, Lord, I don't know what you want from me, but I'm willing. I'm willing. I'll try whatever you want. I'm willing, God. Just use me. Some way, somehow, God, here I am. I'm willing. Say, well, I don't want to do that because God might ask me to do something that I'm not comfortable with. I don't think God will do that. God's not going to call you to some part, corner of the world where you're not willing to go, you're not able to go. But just present yourself. Like Romans says, a living sacrifice. You can't be a living sacrifice unless you're willing. Unless you're willing. When I think about that, I think about Abraham as he led Isaac up that mountain. And Isaac followed, seeing the wood and seeing the fire and seeing everything for the altar, for the sacrifice, except for the lamb. Yet Isaac willingly followed. Isaac was willing even to the point of being laid on that altar, about to be slain by his own father. He was willing, no matter what the cost, to do his father's will. God, I'm willing. A living sacrifice. That's what you and I need to be with our Lord. We need to be willing to let God lead us where He wants us to go and just trust God, like Abraham told Isaac, God will provide Himself a lamb. You just be willing. You just be obedient. You just keep going. And when the time comes and you think that it's about to end, just that's when God steps in and He provides for your need. We need to be willing to serve God with a perfect heart and a willing mind. And David challenged Solomon not only to know God, to serve God with a perfect heart and a willing mind, but he challenged him to seek the Lord. To seek Him constantly. Not just get to know Him today and then you're good for the rest of the week. But constantly seek after the Lord to please Him. He challenged him not to forsake Him, and he let him know. He said, Solomon, God has chosen you. Verse 10. The Lord has chosen thee to build an house for the sanctuary. We need to let our children know that God's chosen them for a purpose. I don't know what my children's purpose is going to be. God hasn't given me some revelation, some vision. I might have one tonight after eating Panda Express for dinner. But so far I haven't. But what I do know is that He has chosen them for a purpose. I know that. What that purpose is, I don't know yet. But He's chosen them. And then David said, God's chosen you. Now be strong and do it. Don't be filled with fear. Don't be shy. Don't be embarrassed. Don't feel awkward. Just be strong and do it. Solomon, it's time to man up and fulfill your purpose. We need to challenge the next generation. Then as servants of the Lord, we need to do what we're doing with the next generation of servants in mind. My job, your preacher's job, your youth pastor's job, the parents, we need to be doing what we're doing with the next generation of servants in mind. What can I do to make their service for God easier? What can I do to help prepare them, to make them ready, to give them what they need to serve the Lord? David spent much of his adult life in battle, conquering nations, conquering peoples, and gathering everything that was necessary to build the temple. Solomon didn't have to waste his time trying to get the gold for the temple or the silver for the temple. It was all there. It was provided. It was prepared by the previous generation. What are we doing to make it easier for the next generation to serve God? What are we doing to take away their excuses? Well, I can't go to Bible college because I just don't have the money. Well, what can we do to help with that? What can we do to make it more possible for someone to do what God wants them to do? To make it easier. See, if you make it too easy, then they won't appreciate it. Well, I think we still have a responsibility. We've got a responsibility. We've got to have them in mind. With this church, have the next generation in mind. And I know you do because you guys take such wonderful care of this facility. It's always clean and nice. You guys go above and beyond and having beautiful. Hey, take care of this place because if you don't, where's the next generation going to meet? Hey, you know what it costs to build a beautiful building like this. Why not take care of it so the next generation doesn't have to pay for it all over again? Take care of the things that God has given us so that our kids and the next generation of servants of God have a place to serve. They have what they need. We need to take care of the house of God. We need to take care of the Word of God. Boy, there's fewer and fewer places where this old King James Bible is still esteemed and held high. And when you start talking about the Word of God, and a lot of churches say they don't know what word you're talking about. and it's not special to them, and they think it doesn't matter what you use and what version you have, and they think it's no big deal. It's no big deal. If we're not careful, the day of the King James Bible believing church could pass us by. Pass us by. Churches by the scores are setting this old book aside in the place of something new, something easier to understand, something that they think is better. We have the truth. You know this. But if we don't take care of this book right here, if we don't defend this book right here, our children are going to have at best a watered down, diluted interpretation of the Bible instead of an inspired and perfectly preserved Word of God. We need to defend it. We need to take care of it. We need to do what we have, whatever we're doing for the Lord, with the next generation in mind. David laid up in store all that Solomon would need, and he gave him a pattern to follow. In verses 11 and 12, 13, down through the end of the chapter, David says, Solomon, here's everything you need, and here's how you do it. Here's how you do it. He took the time to lay out detailed instructions for Solomon. Solomon didn't have to try and figure it all out because Daddy taught him. Daddy showed him. He made it simple. He made it simple. What type of a pattern are we leaving for the next generation? Are they seeing our burden? Are we challenging them to serve the Lord? Are we making preparations for them to help them in their service for God? We've got a great responsibility, church, in preparing that generation and preparing for your children, preparing for my children and others who aren't even in the church yet, the next generation of Christians that gets saved. We got a responsibility to give them something to work with. How are we doing on that tonight? Let's pray together. Father, I love you. Lord, I'm challenged myself by the message that you've laid on my heart this evening and the responsibility that I have, Lord, with my children, and not mine only, but the entire next generation of Christians. Lord, to teach and to train to serve you. And Lord, I pray that you'd help me to do my part. And lead by example and challenge and Lord, help to point these young people in the direction that you want them to go. And Lord, I pray that you'd give us, Lord, a bunch of willing servants. That you'd give us young people that would get to know you, that would seek after you, that would follow you and serve you with a perfect heart and a willing mind. And Lord, I know that even with just this small group of young people that are here tonight, Lord, if they'd do that, if they'd surrender their life to you and seek your will and serve you like you desire them to, Lord, you could do tremendous things. And Lord, I just pray that you'd help us to surrender to your will this evening. Whatever it is that you'd have for us, help us not to resist your sweet spirit this evening. We'll give you the praise. As the instruments begin to play and pastor comes to take the invitation, if the Lord spoke with your heart tonight, the altar is open. I encourage you to come.
Let's stand together while they're playing the music that the Lord put upon your heart tonight. A distinct touch of God about something, this is the time to come. good for our church to hear messages like that. One of the most amazing statements you'll ever read in the Bible is where Hezekiah made some poor decisions, and the prophet came to him and said, "You're going to impact future generations for the poor, for the bad." He said, "That's okay, as long as it's peace and truth in my day. As long as it's peace and truth in my day." What a horrible statement. Not living for the next generation. Good message tonight.